This is a new day for New York 19.
Where is the good officers at? If 11 of them is no damn good, we want to know where the good ones at.
I believe the goal is beating Donald Trump.
Watch your
tongue. What do you mean? She just called me names.
So I don't give a f- she spoke the truth.
Whoa, look at that. There's a beaver 5 feet from us. Usually they whack their tails on the water and try to scare you off. That was a pretty brave beaver.
We've learned some tough lessons, and those lessons are we have to hold people accountable.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the head of Mass Mocha in North Adams will face charges related to a fatal crash with a motorcyclist last summer. We'll find out why New York Congressman Paul Tonko supports impeachment, and we'll report on the long-running sanctuary city debate in Troy. But first, a thank you. We just finished the $1 million WAMC Summer Fund Drive this week, and we did it in less than 3 days and a lockbox. Thanks to everyone who sent in a pledge from $5 to $25,000. We really, really appreciate it. The director of Mass Mocha Art Museum in North Adams, Massachusetts, will face charges related to a fatal collision with a motorcyclist last summer. WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes reports.
Joseph Thompson, 59, has been Mass Mocha's director since the museum opened in 1999. Police say on July 20th, 2018, a car Thompson was driving in North Adams collided with local motorcyclist Stephen Fortier, 49, who was killed. Now, almost a year later, Thompson is set to be arraigned on a misdemeanor charge of motor vehicle homicide by negligent operation, as well as a marked lanes violation in Northern Berkshire District Court on June 19th. The misdemeanor carries a maximum penalty of 2.5 years behind bars. North Adams Police Chief Jason Wood told WAMC that after a May 9th hearing, the court found that there was, quote, probable cause to issue a complaint. He confirmed that the investigation found that alcohol was, quote, not a factor for Thompson in the crash. Wood attributed the long wait between the crash and the charge to the number of agencies involved in the investigation, including the North Adams Police Department, state police detectives assigned to the District Attorney's Office, and state troopers from the Crime Scene Service Section and the Collision Analysis Reconstruction Section. Wood said, unless the Berkshire District Attorney's Office says otherwise, the investigation is now closed. Mass Mocha released a statement Thursday saying its board and staff, quote, stand with Director Joe Thompson while he resolves this deeply unfortunate personal matter. The museum directed all further questions to Thompson's attorney, Timothy Shagru. Shagru told WAMC Thursday that his client was pleading not guilty and that he planned to make a motion for the case to be dismissed.
There was some confusion regarding the accident reconstruction both by North Adams and the state police. Some initial reports in the police reports were incorrect. The police officer had written the wrong direction, southbound versus northbound, in his original police report, which was what the state police relied upon.
Shagru says Thompson did everything in his power to avoid the collision at the corner of Church Street and Ashland Street that night in July. He says the motorcyclist, Fortier, overshot the corner and came into oncoming traffic at, quote, a high rate of speed.
When he sees that motorcycle as a bullet coming straight at him, he veered to the left instead of to the right. The right had trees and mailboxes. He couldn't go that way. Veered to the left in order to avoid a head-on collision. It's my belief that if he hadn't done that, his passenger would have been severely injured, if not killed herself, because that motor vehicle was coming right at him. He made an evasive maneuver. The motorcycle hit him on the side of the vehicle, causing him to be ejected from the motorcycle, and eventually he died.
Shagru claimed that 40 years' blood alcohol level was at 0.28, well over the state's legal limit of 0.08. Chief Wood confirmed that alcohol was found in 40 years' system, but said, quote, to what extent it contributed, I cannot speculate on. The motorcyclist was reportedly last seen leaving the Mohawk Tavern before the accident. Shagru says Thompson is still suffering from trauma from the incident.
Even that night, he was very distraught. He was crying. He was upset. He went over. He tried to assist the motorcyclist. It was an awful situation. The police even noted that he was very upset. They told him to go home, relax. He's obviously been upset the 11 months it's taken to have this investigation go on. Again, another reason that we're questioning why did it take so long, because, again, he's confirmed he cooperated with the police from day one. Gave him the car, gave him the cell phone, gave him anything that they wanted. Completely cooperated.
Shugrue says that there is no question of Thompson maintaining his position at Mass Mocha, which, as usual, has a busy summer scheduled as it celebrates two decades.
He's innocent until proven guilty, and he hasn't done anything wrong. I can't see any reason why anybody would second-guess his position at Mass Mocha. He's done a wonderful job there. He's an excellent person. He's an excellent employee. And I know at the end that this will come out positively for him.
The Berkshire District Attorney's Office declined to comment. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Congressman Paul Tonko from New York's 20th District is one of the latest Democrats to support an impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. As more House Democrats and one Republican back the proceedings, Tonko explained to WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard that the announcement from Special Counsel Robert Mueller caused him to call for action.
Mr. Mueller last week made it abundantly clear that there were seemingly criminal actions by the president and his campaign, and I think it's important for us to have an inquiry that digs deep into assuming or determining whether those criminal actions, seemingly criminal actions, warrant rise to a level of impeachment. That will go before experts on the Constitution, but I believe that my oath requires me, after Mr. Mueller's statement making it abundantly clear, my oath requires me to do that, and certainly in service to that oath that I take along with my colleagues, it's my judgment that Congress needs to accept the baton that has been handed us by Mr. Mueller.
Have you spoken with any of your Democratic colleagues who may also be coming around or making their own announcement that they would support an impeachment inquiry?
I haven't since our district work period. Before that, I had spoken to some to see where they were at. But I think the clearing of the air, so to speak, by Mr. Mueller in his address to the country really spoke to me in a way that we really need to drill down on what are seemingly criminal actions by this president, and then have experts on the Constitution determine where we go from there.
Are you going to push for Mr. Mueller to sit before Congress and provide additional testimony? He said in his press conference that the report is my testimony. But would you push for him to sit down to answer additional questions?
I think it would be helpful. You know, I know that the committees of select few have been really focused on this issue, while all of the other committees have been moving forward with a lot of work that needs to be done on finished business. But I think that, you know, even if he stays within the framework and within the confines of the report, you know, hearing his statements and having him add to that statement or clarifying it as he had last week is very helpful. And, you know, just recommending that while he couldn't take his investigation to extra steps beyond what he did, he clearly indicated that Congress has that ability. And I believe we need to embrace it.
Do you think that Speaker Pelosi will come around to seeking an impeachment inquiry?
Well, I know that she's been intent, very intent, on drilling down for the truth. And, you know, this inquiry will, in a sense, do the same thing. But eventually we will need experts on the Constitution to determine if the level of seemingly criminal actions rises to a further bit of action.
What do you think we still need to find more information on? What exactly do you want to drill down more further into?
Well, I think there were situations where people pleaded the fifth or where certain people did not appear. I think that there's just added information on some of these dynamics that really need to be addressed. I think that, you know, there were, you know, outreach efforts. There were those efforts to, in a sense, obstruct. And, you know, obstruction in any format is a grave concern. Anytime you try to cover up and, you know, stand in the way of justice being served, there needs to be additional discussion and additional investigation.
Republicans who are against an impeachment inquiry have been saying that such an inquiry would distract from other more important business in the House. What would you say to folks who say, we don't have time for this right now?
Let me tell you, there are so many things that we do coterminously. There are many, many fronts. I mean, I'm on three committees, on natural resources, on science, space, and technology, and energy and commerce. We're at hearings every day, sometimes two or three hearings for the various committees. You know, this whole thing that you can only work on one item is ludicrous. I mean, walk and chew gum at the same time? Hey, absolutely. That's the nature of this job. There are never those, well, it would be nice to have a single issue that we all focus on, but there's a multitasking that takes place routinely in this job. And I think it's very ludicrous to suggest that the appropriate committees, which are a handful of all the committees in the House, working on one issue denies the opportunity for unfinished business to be addressed.
Again, Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat from New York's 20th District, speaking with WAMC's Lucas Willard. In New York, the Troy City Council has once again tabled a vote on a sanctuary city resolution. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas has the update.
The sanctuary city resolution was introduced by Councilman David Bessemer, a Democrat. It was originally taken up December 6th, then tabled pending additional study. According to the measure, sanctuary city status would prohibit police and other city employees from questioning people about their immigration status. Republican Council President Carmela Mantello has been dead set against the resolution.
We're a very welcoming city. We're a very inclusive city. Designating us a sanctuary city is not certainly in the best interest of our city as a whole. Our law enforcement officials and others have expressed extreme concern. Our sheriff will continue to do what he's doing now, so will our city police force. So stating that, this has really turned our city into a very divisive city with this issue.
Bessemer argued his resolution intends to reaffirm Troy's commitment to being an inclusive and welcoming city to all residents, that it would build upon the work of the community policing philosophy. But after months of work to finalize the measure for a vote Thursday night, the council's Democratic majority says it's not ready yet. Bessemer.
We met with advocates, the administration, and council members to move forward and continue the productive discussions on how best we can move forward. The reason we're not voting on it tonight is because of those productive discussions. It's what all parties agreed would be best in an effort to work towards a better outcome.
Democratic Troy Mayor Patrick Madden, facing a primary election June 25th, has been active in those productive discussions.
We're trying to find language that is agreeable and reasonable. I do have some issues with the notion of calling Troy a sanctuary city, but I think on substantive matters, what they're looking for are things that largely we're already doing. So there's a lot of misunderstanding around the term sanctuary city. It has no real defined legal meaning, so people tend to project on it what they their own prejudices, their own proclivities, their own philosophy, and I think it would help us to move away from that language and talk about what it is that we do and don't do here in Troy.
Democrat Anasha Cummings, the council pro tem, counters the resolution has always been based on sound legal analysis.
What it is that the city can and should be doing to make our community safer, both in terms of making sure that we're not actively participating in the deportation of non-criminal immigrants, and therefore making sure that everyone who's a community member here feels comfortable interacting with local services, knowing that in current policy and policy moving forward, the police department and any other city agencies will not be engaging in any action with regard to ICE or immigration.
Republican Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin told WAMC the resolution is the wrong approach, branding it an infringement on every county taxpayer.
It's the county that pays these bills. It's not the city. The city doesn't write a check for anything. I wish they would pay their bills, quite frankly. But it's the county that's paying the social services and the welfare and the probation and the child protective and everything else.
Bessemer says it's unclear exactly when the measure will be back on the table. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember, stay subscribed and feel free to give us a 5-star rating. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.